Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Do you remember your first year of college? Did you get homesick? Did you struggle to make friends or maybe hang out in your dorm room a bit too much? What about your classes? Were you able to keep up your studies and your grades? Certainly there are freshmen who are experiencing some of these struggles as the school year is still young. What does a college do to help those students grow into their new roles and thrive as college students? Joining us by phone from Chicago today is Dr. Kim Grieve. Kim is Vice President and Dean of Students at the University of South Dakota with a PhD in Leadership in Higher Education. Dr. Grieve, thanks for joining us on In the Moment.
Thank you for having me today.
All right, this seems like a pretty good question to be asking right about now, right? After the tearful goodbyes have been said, and maybe some kids are making those phone calls home saying, I'm not sure I made the right decision. Do you see this is something you think about a lot?
Certainly we do. And I think the most important thing to realize is that many students feel homesick from time to time, and that's perfectly normal. And this day of, you know, social media, students continue to see all of their friends posting these great pictures, looking like they're always having a great time. And certainly they are, but there's also times where other students feel homesick as well.
All right. Did you ever feel homesick in college yourself?
I sure did.
Well, do you still remember what that feels like?
Yeah, it just feels like a real sense of loneliness. You're used to having your family there, and that was really your community and your support system. And now you're in college, and you need to find your new community and your new support system so you feel like you're a part of that environment.
All right, so what do universities generally do to sort of help ease that transition?
Certainly. Well, we have a lot of things in place. We have highly trained residence assistants that, of course, live on the floors with our students and are trained to recognize maybe if a student is struggling and also to help them to get engaged in as many activities on campus as possible. We're actually doing a program this year where we're tracking students for the first 30 days to see if they do any events. And then if the students have not done events, we will reach out to them and have a conversation with them and see maybe what they're interested in on campus and how we can help them get involved. We also have a counseling center where we continue to hire more counselors each year to assist our students. This year we even have students in our residence halls to work with students right there when they need the help. And then we have lots of programming on campus and over 170 student organizations, as well as the Wellness Center, which offers intramural and club sports, as well as just a place for students to come and unwind, take some classes, maybe yoga, meditation, or a weightlifting class just to relax.
So as the parent of a new college student, a first-year student, one of the things that I kept hearing during that transition time is, hey, don't hang out in your dorm too much. And a lot of the advice that was coming, you know, via social media from what do other students want to tell the first years, it was, don't spend too much time in your dorm room. Why is that? How much time in your dorm room is too much time? I mean, how do you know as a parent that your kid is spending too much time sort of in isolation? And you know, if they're kind of a shy kid who spent a lot of time reading books at home anyway, when do you know if it's a warning sign or a red flag?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. Each student is different. Some students, you know, study in their room. That's where they can study the best. They're not going to the library or to another place on campus. But I think, you know, to make sure that students are getting out for each one of their meals and that they're talking about meeting some new friends and at least have joined some activity on campus, I think, you know, is kind of a gauge to see how healthy they're being on campus.
All right.
And of course, talking about sleep is so important too. So often students get off to, you know, a bad sleep schedule, which can really cause
what? I know nothing about that.
Right. None of us do, right? Yeah. But so important for their academic performance is, you know, well as being social for them to have that sleep that they need and the good nutrition as well.
Yeah, they're proud of that though.
I know.
You know, they're proud of the fact that they didn't sleep or they're, you know, it's sort of, you know, you're fighting a culture there as well. And at some point you're just going to sound like, oh, that's the mom saying it's time to get some sleep.
Right. But there's lots of research. As a matter of fact, we just had some sleep researchers on campus that did a workshop on the importance of sleep. And it's really incredible how important that it really is to our health.
All right. Where are some of the other sort of sticking points? So making your transition, you know, feeling a little homesick, you know, engaging in those activities. And then I think, you know, class starts and now this college workload is going to come, you know, hitting some of these students. And it's a, you know, it's a different world. It might be more academically rigorous. It might not, but it certainly is a change. So what about that transition to classes and homework and those first tests or papers and expectations?
Sure. Yeah. I think that it's really important for students to get to know their professors. All of our professors have office hours, and I always highly encourage students to go to those office hours and ask the questions that maybe they didn't understand in class. I think also, you know, we have so many resources, like we have tutoring, we have the Writing Center, and to make sure that they're using those. But most importantly is to ask for help when you need it, and none of us are very good at that. So we have plenty of resources and plenty of people to help, so I would encourage all students to just ask for what they need so we can be there for them.
In your experience, do they ask their parents? Are they telling their parents what's going on? And what's mom and dad's role in this?
Right. Some students talk to their parents more than others, and certainly parents need to continue to be in that support role for their students, to really listen to what they're saying and to reach out if, you know, their student's not able to find what they need. They can always call the Dean of Students' office, my office, and we're happy to help in any way. I'm happy to do wellness checks, too. So if a parent is concerned about their student and haven't heard from them for a while, they can just contact us, and we'll make sure that someone checks to make sure they're doing okay.
All right. This is based on a question based on a story of someone I know, not me, because my daughter's out of state. But if your child is in the same city as you, do you show up at their dorm to check on them?
Right.
Because I know parents who have done that. They're pretty close. I'm going to go find out and look, see.
Yeah, well, for one thing, they couldn't really get on the floor if they came to the residence hall. But speaking from my experience, I went to school in the same town where my father was a professor at the university, and I would not have wanted him to show up unannounced to visit me. So I think, you know, it's time to let them have a little privacy and certainly to invite them to lunch and to meet them for lunch or dinner or something like that, but not to show up unannounced.
Yeah, I think that might be universally good advice.
Yep, indeed.
Not that I'm picking on anybody in particular, but you can also, if you have a little empathy, see how worried that parent must have been. So let's talk about, you know, a kid that you know, isn't communicative, or the parent says, hey, I know this kid, and this is way different behavior, or the kid just calls and says, I want to go home. How do parents, you know, you mentioned they can call somebody, but how do you know when it's a problem and how do you know when it's not? What are some of those signs of just plain independence versus signs of trouble?
Right. Well, I would always encourage parents to contact the Dean of Students' office if they ever are concerned. We have what's called a behavioral intervention team, and on that team, like counselors and the residence hall staff, myself, the university police department. And as those names come forward, we just figure out what would be the best way to meet with that student. So sometimes it'll just be a residence assistant that'll stop by and just say, hey, how are you doing? Tell me a little bit about your classes. Tell me some of the things you're getting involved in. So I think the most important thing is always ask, you know, if you think that there's been a change in behavior for your student.
And let's talk a little bit about what some people would consider self-medicating behaviors, you know, alcohol, drugs, picking up cigarettes or vaping, or just other things that people are, you know, overeating, different things that we see students do. Talk a little bit about, at the University of South Dakota, some intervention or opportunities you have for kids who are trying to deal with some of those problematic behaviors.
Sure. So we do a lot of educating in the residence hall around alcohol and drugs and any other things that students should really consider avoiding. We also have the Counseling Center, which does a lot of preventative programming, too, to make sure that students are being safe and being healthy, because it is very concerning when students begin using drugs and alcohol and other vices to be successful, because we know for sure it's not going to have them be successful. They just think that it's temporarily making them feel good, but in the long run, there's going to be a lot more issues that they're going to have to face.
Do you look at challenges like this every year, or is this mostly a conversation for those incoming first-year students?
Oh, we continue the conversation, most definitely. It's not just freshmen. It continues on all 4 years. And so we continue to make sure that we have programming available on campus. We have alcohol speakers. We have sexual assault prevention speakers and many other speakers to make sure students understand the importance of staying healthy, making healthy decisions.
All right, we've scared a lot of parents today, so let's talk about how fun this is. And in your role, you see these adults really become more of the people that they're going to be in their lives as well as they. This is a natural transition. Let's talk a little bit about what you've seen in growth and that exciting independence, that side of things.
Sure. Well, I've stayed in higher ed for over 25 years because it is so rewarding to be a part of witnessing students and their growth over 4 years. Students just absolutely continue to amaze me with all their strengths and how they get so involved in many different aspects of the campus, as well as the community, and involved in internships and study abroad. So there are so many good things that are happening, and I just wish for every parent to be able to watch their student go from freshman to senior year and the impact that going to college will have on them academically as well as socially and professionally.
And they're changing that community as well, too. They're changing, you're in your office and then you see these people with ideas of their own that end up shifting the culture in Vermilion and beyond.
Absolutely. Students are really involved in being a part of the community, and not just the USD community, but also the Vermilion community and the state of South Dakota. And they really are responsible for a lot of change, and that is very, very exciting.
Dr. Kim Grieve is Vice President and Dean of Students at the University of South Dakota. Take a deep breath, parents. It's going to be okay. Dr. Grieve, thanks for being here with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.